We'll be studying from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 9 through 14, but we'll be reading several passages of Scripture from different places in the Bible in order for us to understand how to be content or what brings contentment to our lives. I want to read, first of all, from Philippians chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Philippians 1, verse 29 and 30. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now hear to be in me. Now let's read what Paul said in the fourth chapter in verse 9. Chapter 4, verse 9. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's continue. But notice, four things are mentioned here concerning Paul and his walk before the Philippians. You have learned, you have received, you have heard, and you have seen in me, and these are the things that you ought to do. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. In the flood of 1927, when all of the Delta was covered in water and only in many places the railroad tracks were above water, there was a man who finally escaped to the railroad tracks because they were the only high ground near his house and in the Delta at that time. And there, standing between the railroad tracks and looking north, he prayed, Lord, please get me to Memphis, or if you can, get me to Friars Point. I can get on to Memphis by myself. And that really describes the meaning of the word contentment. Now, in Paul, the writer of the editorial, Greenberg, he gave a bumper sticker that intrigued him. And here's what the bumper sticker said. Jesus will get you through. This was in big letters. Jesus will get you through. And then in little letters, if you can stand the pull. Okay. There's another good definition of what contentment or to be content really means. I know that we generally think of contentment as simply just giving up and relaxing, not having any passion about anything, and just taking things as they are. That's not a good definition or a correct Bible definition of what Paul said when he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be contented. I believe there are seven steps that are involved in being contented. Seven things that I believe lead to contentment. I believe that, first of all, in order to be contented, you must believe in an eternal, unchanging being. That's God. Or a cause or principle. Things that are bigger and better than we are. A God of love and justice. Now, that's the framework or the very basic foundation upon which we must stand. And faith in that being as approachable. That is, you believe that such a being exists and that he is approachable. Paul wrote in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him or to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You're not going to come to something that you do not believe exists. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe that there is a cause for which you would die. That's number three. Is there a cause in your life that is so great that you believe that it is worth dying or risking all for? Number four, there must be a challenge or test over which you have been victorious. Now, think about that. You're striving for contentment. You want to be a contented person like Paul said he was. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So there have to be some victories in your life, some challenges that you met, some tests that you overcame and in which you were victorious. Number five, there must be a cost which you are willing to pay. And the Bible teaches us that we must count the cost. In the vernacular, don't bite off more than you can chew. You have to know your limitations. And you have to be willing to give something of yourself to something higher than bigger than you are. Number six, there must be a total commitment to that being or principle. There is a big difference in a psychological obsession and a spiritual commitment. A physical obsession is a burden. It will not lead you to contentment. It will lead you to more and more heartache and more mental starvation, physical starvation. And when I mean an obsession, that it absolutely consumes you. There is something that literally consumes you. And that's referred to psychologically as an obsession. Obsessions will ruin your life. Commitments will save your life. There is a difference. And then you need a high threshold of pain. That doesn't sound good, does it? You must be willing to suffer in order to have contentment. You must suffer physically. You must suffer emotionally. And you must suffer spiritually. Now, I'm giving you what I term the road that Paul endured in order to write to the Philippians that he had learned in whatsoever state he was, that is condition, surroundings, to be content. Remember, this is written from a jail cell in Rome. It wasn't something that was infused into Paul simply because he had become an apostle, and that all through some spiritual movement, there was just a glowing serenity that finally settled over Paul. No. And I think that's where we have some misunderstanding of what it means to be content. The word learned here that Paul uses in verse 11 is a word that means to learn intellectually from others or from study, to learn by observation, to be informed, and to understand. In a letter to Felix, this is what was written. This man was taken by the Jews and should have been killed of them. Then came I with an army and rescued him, having understanding or understood that he was a Roman. Same word, having understood or learned. It's intellectual. You have to know some facts and figures, people. You can't be totally ignorant of what life is all about and what the Bible teaches. So there is an intellectual content to contentedness. This may surprise you, but the word content has in it, in the Greek rendering, a prefix which is auto. And you use that word all the time. You say an automobile. What is an automobile? Well, it has the resources within itself to move and continue to move. We talk about people who are, well, sufficient. And you say, we're not sufficient, but there has to be a degree of self-sufficiency, because that's exactly what this prefix means. We use the word automatic, meaning that it automatically does something. It has power within itself to do something. And that's the word that's attached to the word that means to accomplish. So what does it mean, content? It means sufficient in oneself, self-adequate, needing no aid, self-reliant. And you say, but Paul said, I can do all things and through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let me show you something. You want to be content? Then let life's problems and victories make you strong on the inside. And then go to God, who will help you to strengthen you on the inside. We're not complete without God's help, but we need to be self-reliant people, or learn to be educated by the trials and problems of life. Now, you'll notice that Paul said, I learned that. And that's what I want you to get. And we'll be looking at the difference between happiness and contentment. And I can tell you that there is a great difference. And all of us want to be happy, and I'm not in any way saying that you should not seek happiness. But happiness depends on everything. Think about it. You want to be happy. I just want to be happy. Well, your happiness depends not on two or three things. Happiness depends on everything. For instance, it depends on the weather. You have a day planned at the park and it rains. You're not happy. Right? So their happiness ended for that day at least. It depends on the temperature. It's too hot. And now you're not happy. Depends on others. Every other human being in the world is going to ruin your happiness. You just wanted to go to Walmart and buy a simple item. You got there where you check out with 16 or less items, and there's somebody with a basket full of at least 600. And you want to say something to that person so badly, but you contain yourself because you're a Christian, but it ruins your day. You're unhappy. You don't even know the person, but you're unhappy. They affected you. It depends on electronics. I can tell you that our electricity went off about 4 o'clock, something like that, and I was unhappy. It went off yesterday. I was unhappy. Made my day unhappy. We had to come up here where it was air conditioned and stay for a while. I was unhappy. Some dumb switch or somewhere, tree, I don't know, but just something somewhere, I have no idea what happened. I was unhappy. And my most wonderful wife, she was unhappy. And when mama's unhappy, excuse me, mama. Depends on health, doesn't it? It depends on our education. Just look, happiness just has so many problems. Let me tell you about contentment. Contentment depends on nothing. There are two people involved in your being contented. They are yourself and Jesus. Okay? That's the source of contentment. Your inner strength that comes from your experiences of life and the unsearchable riches of Christ as they come to you. In Romans, there is a process that is articulated. Paul said, "But we glory in tribulations," plural, not tribulation, but tribulations also. Knowing, that's knowledge, that tribulation works patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, that is, it doesn't embarrass you, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So what is Paul saying? When things happen to us and the way we handle them, they form a chain. And that chain results ultimately in hope, but just before hope is the term experience. Now, in order to be contented, like Paul was contented, you're going to have experiences. Now, I believe that Paul suffered greatly in the flesh. I know when the people to whom he wrote this letter, if they were living, and I know many of them were, I'm sure, they saw Paul arrested in Acts 16:23. And the Bible tells us, and they laid many stripes upon them, Paul and Silas, with whips. Now, what's Paul talking? Paul said, I'm content. But this contentment starts out with being whipped, with stripes. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, and I'll just read these scriptures. We'll read them together, and you make up your mind. Paul said in chapter 6, verse 4, "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, wars, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful and yet rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." That's experience, people. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul speaks of how he was treated. Whenever he spoke about being an apostle, he writes in verse 22, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in the perils in the wilderness, in perils by the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." You think Paul suffered any physically? And he's victorious over every one of them. Does Paul have any idea that he can endure? I can endure. Look what has happened to me. I learned from my experiences that I can trust God, but I also learned that I have an inner strength to endure. Paul suffered emotionally. Galatians 1:13, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. That is, I ravaged the church of God and lay it waste and destroyed it." 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, the foremost in time and place." Why? Because I persecuted the church of the living God. Emotionally, Paul could never forget what he did to God's people. I'm sure every night before Paul slept and mornings when he awoke, there in his mind was that emotional scar. "I did the worst thing that any human being ever did. I persecuted the church of the living God." Paul's learning. Paul suffered spiritually. In 2 Corinthians 11:28, he said, "Besides those things that are without," that is the physical suffering, "that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches." And the word "care" here has in it the idea of pain and trouble and serious purpose. Now, do you know what happened to Paul? Did he learn from his experiences? Yes, his experiencing taught him self-reliance. Because there were times, as Paul says, "No one communicated with me except you. Nobody sent me an offering except the Philippian church. And oftentimes, when you wanted to, you didn't know where I was and how to reach me." So let's look at these verses just briefly for a moment. "But I've rejoiced in the Lord greatly." That's part of being content. "That now at the last your care of me hath flourished," revived. "Wherein you were also careful that you really wanted it. You had this action in your mind. You had the love in your heart for it. And you had the will to do it. But you didn't have an opportunity. Now that I speak in reject of..." Now, not that I speak in respect of want. In other words, I'm not speaking to you and commending you because I want something you've got. You know, I think that's part of contentment too. That our friendships and the basis of our relationships is not what I can work out of you, what I can get out of you, I know I can speak for Matt when I say what we do not do for money, people. I hope you know that. I'm 76 years old. I wouldn't be here for the money. Most people retire at what, 55, 65? I didn't, and I don't intend to. But I don't do it for the money, just to give you an opportunity to give me a check. That's not why I do it. It's not what Matt does. It's not what Richard does. It's not what we do. It's not that. But here's what he said, I have learned. I've learned in whatever condition I find myself, there's an inner strength that I have that bears me through these situations. But don't stop right there. I know both how to be abased. Now, we read about Paul being abased, didn't we? And I know how to abound. Have you had to do without any time in your life? Ask Brother Norman. He knows how to do without. He started without. He's done good. But having the strength to know that you can go on when you're tired, to go on when you're sick, to go on when things are against you, to swim upstream, that's the part of the experience that will lead to an inner strength from which you can draw contentment. You have seen death and dying and sickness and loneliness, and you have achieved, and you can look at it and say, I by the grace and help of God, have achieved. That's what Paul's looking at. Nobody killed me. I didn't die when they beat me. I didn't die when they spat on me. I didn't die in prison. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. That is, I was taught by every life's experience I ever had. I learned a lesson. I know how to be fooled. I do too. I know how to be fooled, don't you? I know how to be fooled. Do you know how to be hungry? I don't mean missing a meal. I'm talking about hungry. I'm talking about when there was nothing to eat and it didn't look like there would be something to eat. It was a real issue. Probably none of us, maybe some of you, have really been hungry in your life, but Paul had been hungry. I know how to abound, and I know how to suffer need. I know how to do without some things that I really need, like television, or at least the cable. 6 channels, all I can get. I know how to do without. Now, what did Paul say? Now I've got it made. No, listen. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What you lack in contentment after you've drawn on all your experiences of life, after you've done all that and you've lived, you can still need strength, and that strength can come from Christ. Now, does it make any sense to you people why Paul can say, I'm content? It wasn't an intravenous feeding of the Holy Spirit that caused him to forget every bad thing that ever happened to him and erase all of the bad experiences out of his life or the joyous experiences out of his life, so he's just there, a zombie, sitting there drooling on himself. No, he was Paul, alive and vigorous in mind and heart and soul, looking back and saying, I have survived. I'm a survivor. Thank God. And I'm going to survive more. And I'll survive death and be with God in eternity. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who'll strengthen me. Let's stand and sing, please.